We are the best at what we do. And what we do is watch X-Men Origins Wolverine with our contest winner.
Everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
My name is Elliot Kalin, and that is who I am.
I'm Dash Coombs.
That's right. Our contest winner, Dash, is
Holy
here with
shit.
Us.
Welcome, Dash.
Thanks, in my guys. Apartment.
It's great to be here.
I don't know what that was. I overcame my fear that he was a crazy person who wanted to wear us as skin
You were really
suits.
Nervous.
Yeah, you talked about that a lot. I think you kind of wanted it after a while.
I'm inviting someone into my home. You guys aren't. This isn't your
nope.
home.
I mean, I think
Not
you're
at
underestimating
all.
Elliot's like physical prowess.
Well, I go into what's called a berserker rage.
Yeah.
In which I just see red when I wake up. There's bodies everywhere.
Yeah. It's almost like you awaken a manimal inside of you.
Yeah, the other side of me. Sure. The other within.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's almost like I'm more beast than man at times.
Really? No shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Can you smell better than a normal
person?
Oh,
yeah. Heightened smell, hearing, sight, touch, taste, balance, and sense of style.
No shit.
Yeah, heightened sense of style.
Okay, no kidding.
Yeah. I have no idea how I'm going to segue into the movie we watched tonight and the things you've been saying. There's absolutely no... So I'm just going to say that we watched...
They probably know what movie it is.
Because it's written on the, on the entry.
It's on the internet.
Okay, fine. We watched X-Men Origins.
Wolverine.
Yeah. So
that's which X-Men
colon
Origins...
Colon Wolverine.
So, Elliot...
Because because you're executing the program file, Wolverine.
Colon / Wolverine.
.exe.
Elliot, you were known to America as the man who explained adamantium to Jon Stewart.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So clearly, this must be your
Fuck
favorite
off.
Movie.
Yeah, this is.
I forgot about this television appearance.
Well, this national
yes,
TV.
Yes, this
appearance.
Is my favorite movie for that reason. I will tell you that my explanation of what adamantium was, which is literally just saying the name of it, felt more accurate to the character Wolverine than this film.
Yeah? How so?
It seems like they've taken some – not liberties is the wrong word. It feels they've condensed about 20 years of Wolverine stories into an hour and 45-minute film and then added in a couple dashes of made-up bullshit. You know?
Do we have to point out that like we've all read a shitload of Wolverine comic books?
I think you just did point it out.
I think that's important.
You fell
note.
Into their trap. Uh-huh. Yeah, so the readers, the listeners at home, we were all very familiar with this character before we saw the movie.
Yeah,
we didn't pick him up from the X-Men movies or from his late night talk show.
I, for one, was disappointed that this was not an adaptation of the limited series Kitty Pryde and Wolverine.
Oh, you were the only one.
Yeah. Dash, you actually saw part of this movie before you said, and you fell asleep in it.
I did, yeah.
Which part?
Which part did I fall asleep in?
Yeah.
Which part did I see? I fell asleep about 20 minutes in a theater.
Whoa,
must be. I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt and say that this is a theater that's a converted sauna. It was just so muggy.
Well,
in the
I got to see it for free, so I didn't feel as bad about it.
There was a carbon monoxide leak, and
yeah,
you fixed it midway through. But.
You're wearing a Captain America shirt, so we have to assume that you had a certain level of excitement to see this movie.
A certain
level.
I mean, not it's not like it was a Captain America movie.
Oh no, of course not.
And the funny thing is, like, we all like comics, guys, mm-hmm. and yet we. Waited
sure
this
do.
Long to see this fucking movie. Yeah. The other night, I was out with two girls, both of whom
at the
had
same time, Stuart.
At the same time, fellows, and I'm not going to go into too much because I'm a gentleman. But I do want to point out that at some point, the movie Wolverine, you know, X-Men Origins or whatever it was called that we watched today, that the subject came up, and I was the only one of the three who hadn't seen it yet.
Wow.
Well.
So,
two ladies.
Yeah. Ladies like Wolverine.
We all know that ladies.
I think it's because of that Australian film.
Cool W.
Let's just spread stereotypes about women. They don't read comics, so...
Well, my experience,
amazing.
They don't that
okay,
much.
Okay, non-comic book reading women were out with me.
We have to assume their boyfriends
drag them to see it.
Because
I generally don't go out with comic book reading women.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa.
I have to assume you're insulting a large contingent of our audience.
Yeah.
I'm insulting myself.
Okay.
Because I judge women not based on their reading preferences.
On the content of the character.
Yeah, I don't.
Right. The content of their
what
bra size, I have to imagine, what? Is what you judge them by.
I think I should slap you, Elliot, for that.
But no, we're all we're all familiar with this character of Wolverine.
Yeah,
Logan, as
he's a roguish fellow.
Patch.
Patch is his sometimes alias when in Madripoor. Mm-hmm.
That country doesn't exist, right?
No, it's not real. Yeah.
Okay, it isn't just like an old timey like Risk name of a country.
It's a Chris Claremont fantasy country.
Okay.
Yeah, Wolverine.
It's like a hyper advanced ninja populated country, right?
Well, no, it's not hyper advanced. It's like a sleepy 30s backwater.
You were going down like a hole of very specific comic references that don't have to do.
Okay, we didn't talk about like Lila Cheney or anything like that.
Yeah, and we weren't talking
she's
about
she's the transdimensional rock star from the X-Men comics.
But Wolverine.
Lovely but Wolverine bones. Origins.
We all know him and love him.
Or X-Men Origins Wolverine.
The adamantium skeleton clad, beclawed healing factor mutant with the crazy hair,
mm-hmm.
the cigar, and a penchant for calling people bub.
and he's by far, for years, has been the most popular X-Men character. Sure. In the movies, he as played by Hugh Jackman, who's very much the breakout character. He's a really charismatic character for a number of reasons.
And all of that was sucked out.
Pretty much
eliminated in this film, this telling. They're like people love Wolverine so much. If we give them a whole movie devoted to Wolverine, they will just go crazy in the theaters. They will rip up the seats
and
start throwing them. Give them the most dispiriting version.
They'll buy four tickets for each person.
Exactly. It'll destroy the economy. We can't do it.
Wait, did that happen?
Yes, that's what caused it.
Okay,
but the problem is that. Wolverine is like
destroyed Dubai.
He's a loner and a rebel and goes into rages. So he does.
It's like
he's
Pee Wee Herman.
Exactly. Yeah, Dottie. So he in the X-Men comics he is the rogue element. You know, he's a good guy, but he has trouble towing the line.
Rogue was a character in the X-Men.
I'm using the word rogue, not the character rogue.
Okay.
He has trouble towing the line in the X-Men movies. He's that way. That's a lot of times in the comics they pair him with a young girl or an idealistic character so that he can play off of that.
Sure.
So that she can be the kind of naive, good-hearted person and he can kind of have trouble staying completely moral.
He's your classic anti-hero.
Exactly. Except in this movie, they didn't go that way and instead had to make him the nicest of a group of jerks.
It's true. Yeah, a boring group of jerks.
Very boring. If you ever wanted to see... it's like they flipped through X-Men comics and they just like... they were like, too interesting. This character's too interesting. This character's too interesting. Okay, we'll pick the fat guy and the guy who, there's no one here who fits the descriptions we need. So we'll just
make up a
guy who can teleport and is played by Will.i.am, and we'll have a guy who controls light bulbs.
I like when they show off this team, like this team does a mission. They make sure to let each guy do something completely by themselves for a while.
To show off
their
talent.
Like, okay, tag in. It's your turn. Which seems completely unnecessary. Why didn't they just send one guy to do everything?
Yeah. Or work as a team in tandem rather than, like, individually.
Well, that's the thing. They're all bad guys,
It was
though.
Either that or some kind of danger room session scene where they, like, each show off their power.
Yeah.
That seems kind of like a staple of these kinds of movies.
Well, before
it's
we
like, get... there's... Evan Dorkin once told me about a...
Oh, God. fucking name dropping.
About that there's always... the first.
I met him, too. I mean, I met him through you at your... your live talk show, but still.
That was a long time ago. That there's always the character who has to rush up to a monster for no reason so that the monster can show you what his power is. So it's like, if there's a monster with, like, acid hands, then a guy, instead of, like, running away, has to be like, what? And rush up at the acid hands monster so it can touch him and burn his face off.
That guy's hands are totally weak. Oh, no!
I'll hit him at his most vulnerable point, his hands.
I got this, guys.
But
his hands, so powerful and acidic.
So they have this scene where everyone uses their power to, like, one at a time so you can see what their powers are. But, like, one guy's just really good at shooting guns. Another guy is just a tough guy. Another guy controls machines. So, like, they're in an elevator and the guy they're up against stops the elevator. And this guy uses mutant powers to restart the elevator. Like, it's the really the most boring possible powers.
Well, at least one other character proves that he can climb up walls
At least one.
Yeah.
All the characters also can do like Crouching Tiger, Wire Fu type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, guys, I'm still stuck on how you defeat acid hands, and I'm betting it's baking soda. But
sure.
Anyway, we need to give
baking soda gloves.
it's tricking him to touch another part of his body with his acid hands. Oh, yeah. Feather in the nose.
It's the old Medusa technique. But Elliot, we should give
the Medusa configuration.
That's a good title for your spy novel.
We should
the Medusa configuration, a Stuart Wellington adventure.
Elliot, we should both give the audience, the confused audience, a break, and give Dash the full Flophouse experience. He's already had Popeyes. He's already
good.
Had some beer with Stuart, and me.
Did he ever?
You drink beer?
Yeah.
I thought that was apple juice.
Yeah,
I thought that was frothy apple juice.
You just drink Chardonnay. But we should give him the full experience by having you explain the plot to this film.
Sure.
And also to our audience.
Okay, we're in Canada in the year 1845. This is not a joke. And there's a young boy named James Logan, I guess.
Wolverine.
And yeah. His
James Wolverinington.
Within minutes, this sickly boy, we see him watch his father get murdered, then he kills the man who murdered his father, finds out the man who murdered his father is his actual father.
Which, by the way, does not play into the film.
No, never. And then he finds he has bone claws that come out of the backs of his hands. The son of the man he just found as his father, Victor Creed, has like claw fingernails, and he says, "We're brothers. We gotta work together and protect each other." Cut to the title, opening titles, which shows them fighting through the next 100 years of wars. Yeah.
They it's fight like the title sequence to Watchmen, except for only focused on wars
and not very good.
Yeah, not
so
very
it's
good.
Like it shows them fighting in the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, and it's never explained one. Why they went to the United States.
I would like to see him in like a civil rights rally or
yeah.
Like the big stock market crash. Like one of them jumps out the window and the other one picks him up.
Waiting online to see Wizard of Oz in the theaters.
One of them on top of a flagpole.
Yeah, dancing on the wing of a biplane. Yeah, shooting Al Capone with Elliot Ness.
All good stuff.
See, I would have loved if X-Men Origins Wolverine had taken place in like the 60s, I think it would have been a better movie, but instead they're like, listen.
Like Mad Men style.
Yeah, kind of. But like, listen, they did a lot of exciting stuff over the last 150 years. Let's not talk about it. Let's talk about this other thing. But it means that like, you're just like, all right, I guess they enlisted in the U.S. Army, and then the Army never realized that these same two guys were there for over 100 years. Because in Vietnam, they have a falling out, and they kill some regular American soldiers in a fight, and their firing squad tries to kill them, but they can't because they have their healing powers.
Yeah.
They're impervious to bullets.
That's never really addressed.
A mysterious colonel or general or something named Stryker, who is the villain from X-Men 2, you may remember.
They're played by Danny Houston, best known for playing creepy middle-aged men and everything.
He shows up and says, "Why don't you join my team of ragtag mutant monsters?" And they do, basically, I guess for the next 25 years, although nobody seems to age from Vietnam until, I guess, the 80s? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
we don't really know when present day in this film is, by the way.
They do their best to kind of fudge the time. Everything about it seems to say it's happening right now, but then Cyclops is a young boy, like a teenager at one point, so it had to have been at least like 10 years ago, but there's just no historical markers whatsoever. They go out of their way to avoid them. Maybe they're going for a mythic, timeless quality.
Sure. Like in the movie Legend?
Exactly, yeah. Just like the movie Legend, which could have taken place at any time in a world of goblins and unicorns. What happens, basically? They join this ragtag team of monsters. Which is on the lookout for this metal called adamantium, which was discovered somewhere in Africa. In an African village, the team goes kill crazy, and Wolverine says, "I've had enough of this. I'm not going to be a killer anymore." Leaves, becomes a hatchet man out in the woods, or an axe man, I guess is what you call him.
Yeah,
a lumberjack.
Lumberjack, whatever. You know,
I mean, he doesn't fire people. Let's make it clear.
That'd be great.
This is not up in the air with George Clooney.
The next shot is Wolverine in a suit, being like, "We got to cut your staff by 30%. And he's so got a ponytail. He's going bald in the front, but he has a ponytail in the back.
So he's got a skullet.
Yeah, yeah, a skullet. Already in the he's back. Got a skillet. And so anyway, he goes, he lives out with his girlfriend in the woods as a lumberjack. Uh-oh. Stryker and Sabretooth find him. Sabretooth kills his girlfriend. He wants revenge, so he says to Stryker, okay. Stryker says, Wolverine's... sorry, all these stupid names. Stryker says, Sabretooth, your brother Victor, is on the loose. We can't stop him, but we can give you the tools to stop him. And Wolverine says, I want revenge. Just point me at him and I'll kill him. So they fill his bones with adamantium so they're unbreakable.
That makes sense.
And but
that's the logical first step.
But then they reveal that Sabretooth was working... Well, actually, because he seems to know it, but then he doesn't know it. Wolverine runs away. He seems to realize that, obviously, Sabretooth is working with Stryker. But then... So he runs away naked in the woods with his claws. And then he holds up with an old man and woman for about a day. They give him a leather jacket and a motorcycle because it's an origin story. So we have to learn how every fucking piece of clothing he ever wore got into his wardrobe and his bag of tricks.
We never learned why he smoked cigars, Elliot.
No, oh, I wish. There's a part where he's like, oh, I've never had one of these before. Interesting.
What do they call them? Cigars? They're like big cigarettes.
Should be inventing it? This cigarette isn't big enough for me.
He went down to Cuba. He was like in the CIA. You don't know that story.
This bay? It should be called the Bay of Pigs.
Basically, Wolverine tracks down his old allies, the Blob, Fred J. Dukes, and Will.i.am, the character of, what was his name?
John Wraith, maybe?
Wraith, that's what it was.
He was a teleporter. He has
teleportation powers. They tell him, Stryker is kidnapping mutants and doing experiments on them on a secret island. Only one mutant's ever escaped the island. His name? Remy LeBeau. They call him Gambit. Uh-oh! The worst character in X-Men history shows up.
How can it be the worst character, Elliot? He's a ninja cowboy pirate.
He's Cajun.
And he's Cajun. Yeah. He's terrible in every way.
He's got purple body armor, as you pointed out.
Yeah, that's and purple awesome. And pink body armor under a trench coat and some kind of headband with his hair flops over. And in the movie, he doesn't have a heavy accent, but in the comics, he says, like, the thing is, mon chéri. Oh,
he looks like a step aerobics instructor.
You, yet we cannot touch each other.
Yeah, that was kind of a nerdy Gambit. Or a robot.
Oh my God, there's a Gambot?
Yeah. I wish.
Michael Gambot.
Michael
The star of the Harry Potter films.
He's the star?
He's not even the title character, Dan. He's the star of Singing Detective. He's not even in the first one. He took over Richard Harris's role.
I don't care about kids. I like old guys.
Why wouldn't this movie have been called Dumbledore and the Prisoner of Azkaban? Anywho.
Gambit, by the way, played by Taylor Kirsch of Friday Night Lights.
Good show. Tim Riggins.
I've never seen that show. I've heard very good things about
it. It's a good show.
Maybe I'll pick it up sometime.
One of many Flophouse movies that features people from
shows
Friday
you
Night
like.
Yeah. Friday Night Lights and The Wire people do not have good movie careers despite being in good...
Still have careers.
That's good. Yeah, it's true. They should
it's
be
better
thankful.
Than nothing.
In this holiday season, they should be thankful.
Absolutely. Things are tough, man.
Yeah.
Anywho, Gambit helps Wolverine after a fight because heroes always fight first. In which the two characters use their powers in incredibly ridiculous ways.
They should write that on the cover of one of those, like, two heroes fighting issues. Like, heroes always fight first.
Gambit flies Wolverine into the secret island. Wolverine learns everything he knows is a lie. He fights a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It turns out Stryker is trying to combine all of these kids' mutant powers into one unstoppable soldier, who is a kind of very loose take on the character of Deadpool, the Merc with a Mouth, and that's what they call him. He's got three titles. And
they fight
on the lip of a cooling tower. Wolverine and Sabretooth kind of team up, but then they don't, and then Sabretooth leaves. There's very little closure there. And Stryker manages to shoot Wolverine in the head with an adamantium bullet, which doesn't kill him, but does remove his memory, a la Gillian getting hit with a coconut.
Yeah.
Wolverine
tragically does not remember his dead girlfriend at the end of the
And Charles Xavier, movie. It turns out his girlfriend's working for Stryker, but only because Stryker had kidnapped the girlfriend's sister, who is kind of Emma Frost, the White Queen, but not exactly.
Oh.
And yeah, she's covered in diamonds.
You said, what was the name?
Zales should have been her name.
her superpower name is Zales because she's covered in diamonds.
Well, she's just covered in white lingerie.
No, no, like,
she's not rhinestone.
They decided like, yeah. in the film. They decided right. that being a super telepath wasn't enough, so she also has diamond hard skin.
Dang.
But she can't do both at the same time.
Yeah, I thought she was just a hot telepath. Yeah.
No, well, they changed that. She's
they had like
skin
a lot
now.
Of sexual chemistry with Banshee.
She just wears.
Well, now she has sexual chemistry with Cyclops.
Boring. Yeah. That dude's a dork.
Matt Fraction is writing him very well in the current run of Uncanny.
Sure, I don't believe that, but we'll get into that later.
We'll talk about that later. But and Charles Xavier stops by and picks up all the kids.
Yeah.
And that's
come with
it.
Me.
And,
and they, like they look
my, my special kid school.
I can hear you in my mind. Can you?
And in my pants.
I have a shitload of candy in this blackbird.
Now he's his favorite. I didn't think you were gonna say it, and then you said it.
Elliot's coughing up water.
You made him lose it, dude. That's well done.
Yeah, nice
well
work.
Well done, little guy.
With the worst, most horrible joke ever.
Well, anyway, now that we've talked about the big picture, we can talk about the credits, by the way,
Deadpool's head gets cut off, and after the credits, he his hand reaches over and grabs his head, and then his eyes open.
And he shushes.
And yeah. he shushes the audience. Don't tell anyone. I'm leaving it open for a sequel. Yeah.
Keep quiet in the movie theater, please.
Silence your cell phones.
The movie's
over. Exits to the front.
Go to the concession stands.
Yep.
Now it's time for the 20.
Yep.
Have some special Deadpool Raisinettes.
There was
so that's the movie. So that's the film.
Okay.
It is very boring and by the numbers and not very exciting.
Oh, man.
If by the numbers you mean they don't explain a lot of things that are necessary
well, no,
for understanding
the plot
the
is very rote, but it's yeah, they expect you have seen all three X-Men movies, you've read the comics. They really do a bad
possibly
job.
Possibly even seen the pizza commercials featuring Wolverine slashing a pizza. Whoa.
They do a very bad job of explaining who these characters are and why you should be interested in them. As you said, during the movie, an action scene would start and you'd say, you know, I was just thinking, this was Dan said, I was just thinking there isn't a lot of action in this movie, but now this action's kind of stupid.
Dang!
That's not how I talk.
That's my Dan impression.
Yeah, no.
This is my Dan impression. Well, the thing about the movie is...
Yep, that's it.
He always starts with a sigh.
My,
Too close?
Here's a digression. My lovely wife... In college, apparently did an impression of me that just involved her sighing and then putting her her hand to her forehead as if she was taking her own temperature. And it was pretty accurate, I gotta say. So
so that anecdote exciting than the movie.
Yeah, let's
X-Men
get back
Origins
to the movie Wolverine, here.
Huh?
So, okay.
Well, Stuart, what do you want to say about it? Or Dash, you know?
Yeah. Those claws were terrible.
Oh, yeah, well, let's talk about fucking special effects for
terrible
a second.
Terrible effects.
You know, I thought after X-Men 3, X-Men The Last Stand, there wasn't a chance for an X-Men-based movie to have shittier special effects in that movie. But X-Men Origins Wolverine, they're abysmal. Like, when his fucking claws come out, it looks like the singing sword from fucking Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, they look
it's
like,
crazy.
They look like cartoon claws.
Yeah, they're pastel blue. It's fucking nuts.
Like RoboCop.
It's a lot like RoboCop. And you know, I don't watch the pictures like expecting it to be exactly realistic. I mean, come on. This is a fantasy world. But I would like a little bit more adherence to reality,
please. Well,
just use
like props instead of terrible CGI effects. Like maybe use the CGI for a second when the claws come out of his hands, but like why can't he just have a couple of prop claws strapped to his hands?
Yeah, or make not every single bullet hit in the ground CGI. Like you could use squibs, as Dan pointed out.
Yeah, there's a part where Wolverine is riding a motorcycle through the woods while a helicopter gunship fires at him.
Not as exciting.
Sounds very exciting, but it is not. Each of those elements that should be exciting: Wolverine, motorcycle,
and then a helicopter's
gunship,
piloted by
woods.
A mutant who's amazing at shooting guns.
His name is Agent Zero,
mm-hmm.
which seems to be
Agent Guns-a-Lot is his name.
Well, they should have called him like Gunny, you know, or Shooter.
Starting Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That would be a really long name, though. Don't think it's a good...
Shooter starring Mark Wahlberg. Move out. Logan, you're with Fred J. Dukes. Sabretooth, you're with Shooter starring Mark Wahlberg. But like they all the hits of bullets on the ground, or most of them, are very obvious computer effects. Like they don't even have, just explosives in the grounds blowing up.
Yeah,
you know, also, kicking up dirt
for a movie that's about like superpowers. I had a lot of logical problems with the film. I mean, for instance,
really?
Well, when
okay,
when they're bonding,
squirting him full of adamantium.
Squirting him full of adamantium. They, for some reason, number one, that needs to happen underwater, which I don't
just
know.
Like the comics.
Because it looks cool. It did happen in water in the comics.
Okay, but also, like, they're, like, shooting it in, like, via these...
little needles.
Needles that go into his skin. And I guess...
Well, it's like
when
how
you put adamantium through needles, it immediately bonds to bone. I don't know why. Like, it apparently just spreads
well,
out
like
under his
it's
skin.
It's like when you plump up stuffed crust pizza. Like, the cheese knows where to go.
Yeah,
you just leave it up to the cheese to figure out where to go.
You trust the cheese.
You just, that's trust the first the thing cheese. They teach you is trust the cheese. TTC.
And adamantium.
I did not know that about stuffed crust pizza technology, Ellie.
Yeah.
Thank you so
much. It's based on the all force.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you're right. I mean, adamantium automatically clings to bone.
No, but you could say...
In an even level all over. So,
yeah,
you
it's,
got me there.
It's fairly dumb. And but also, like, everyone has set powers, but they also have the ability to, like, run up walls and mm-hmm. jump in the air really far. And it's like it's the similar to Watchmen, where it was like, here's a real world about superheroes who don't have powers, except they can punch a guy through a wall and jump like 30 feet.
Yeah,
you know,
and as soon as a fight starts, it's all slow motion, baby.
Yeah, like they just, you have to believe that everyone in the universe, in the world of this film, can do these amazing feats.
Yeah.
But they don't have claws, you know.
Well, but also, and when Wolverine uses his claws on a fire escape, he just doesn't just cut it up. It shatters like someone put liquid nitrogen all over.
Because that's what's weird about it is he does that, and then he uses his claws on human bodies. You know what doesn't cause a single drop of blood to squirt out anywhere?
Well, it cauterizes the wound, as we realize.
Whoa, it's like a lightsaber?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that makes so much more sense
Imagine how cool it would be if he had lightsabers that came out of his hands. I bet you someone has written that story. It's a Wolverine Star Wars crossover.
That sounds like my slash fic.
It's called Luke
Wolverine and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's called Luke Sky Wolverine. Well, they had more than one X-Men Star Trek crossovers. And I remember when I worked at Barnes & Noble. No, they've had the comic version and the novel version.
That sounds awesome.
And I remember when I worked at Barnes & Noble.
Wait a minute,
I should have bought
Professor X. Jean-Luc Picard, like, is it the same guy, or is he like, I'm two sides of the same coin?
I don't remember, but I never read through the whole book. I should have bought it when I was worked at Barnes & Noble. But I used to read through it, and like, I just remember, like, there's the reporting.
We just got a little bit of X-Men Origins Elliot over here.
Wow,
that he worked
at Barnes & Noble. Now, next, you'll learn the story of my glasses.
Yeah. Now I understand his power of having read books.
you'll learn how I got the story of my shoes. But there's.
Well, I went to Payless one day.
Payless, huh?
DSW had a sale. But the... no, I'm not going to spend a lot of money on shoes. Come on. But
I would think you'd go to Zappos, though.
When I get my feet zapped? I'm sorry. I'm not going to fall for that trap.
I'm just shooting for Zappos gift certificates, to be honest.
But anyway, because usually when we mention a product on the Flophouse, we get a lot of free product.
Like free Popeyes, right?
Oh, I wish. I my dream one day is to be famous enough to do an ad for Popeyes and have them pay me in chicken.
That's awesome.
Like, I'll do this ad.
Like, you'll do, like, a treasure bath, but with chicken?
I'll do this ad for free if I can walk into any Popeyes anywhere and get not have to pay.
For and they'll some be reason, like, oh, Mr. Elliot, here you go.
Yeah, but anyway.
For some
let me,
reason, I'm imagining, like, this horrible Twilight Zone twist, though, or like...
Oh, where I die of a heart attack? Yeah.
Well, no, I was going to say, you, like, get hooked up to, like, this Popeyes chicken machine.
What, it pop all the Popeyes you could eat, huh?
Yeah.
Now you'll have to eat Popeyes forever. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the so
like a Sisyphus type character.
There's this novel, Star Trek X-Men.
Never
and it's probably
it.
Called like Deadly Rebellion or something like that. But like there's a scene where it's like we're having trouble in the transporter bay. Some kind of angry hairy runt is in here, and it's like, ah, said Professor X, that must be Logan. Like,
what?
Like the characters have met each other before and are having another adventure, and there are all those moments where it's like, Nightcrawler, my old friend. It's good to see you again, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, speaking of which, like, that's the weird thing about the end of this movie. I mean, I guess that like, Cyclops doesn't meet Wolverine, but apparently he can see through, like, the weird bandana they've put over his head because of his eye.
Well, no, I think what they're supposed to be saying is that, well, there's a part, he's blindfolded, because right. Otherwise his eye beams will shoot and kill
him. Yeah, he's got, like, Ruby Quartz blindfolds on, right?
Yeah, and,
They wove Ruby Quartz fibers.
into the blindfold, into the nap, you know, the airline sleep mask that he's wearing. Yeah. But they're leaving through the tunnels of the base, all the escaping mutants, and they're like, we don't know which way to go, left or right. And he goes, and he's blindfolded, he goes, left. But how can you know you can't see? I just know. And I think what they're implying is he memorized the route. Or maybe Professor Xavier's telling
him. I would say Professor X.
I thought it was that he memorized the route because he couldn't see, so he just remembered which way they turned. But maybe it's Professor
That's
Xavier.
That's stupider than our assumption.
But then how did Professor Xavier have fucking blueprints of the secret military base on Governor's Island?
Like, yeah.
Governor's Island.
Well, which island? It's one of those islands, you know.
Oh, was it?
Somewhere. I don't know.
He's an incredibly powerful telepath, Elliot, with extensive resources at his disposal.
I guess you're right. Well, he does have
He opens up a fucking school for troubled mutant kids.
My point
he
is
He does
like,
have a fighter jet, too.
I guess
so.
My
he
point is more that the movie like goes through these weird contortions to like work all these other mutants in, but also to have none of them interact directly with Wolverine.
Well, that's one of the
and for Wolverine to lose his memory, so when they all meet up later on, there
they
won't
don't
be
remember.
Like, yeah, it won't be like, you know, fucking Star Wars prequels. You're like,
yeah, expect him to
see C-3PO. No, the anyway.
Yeah, expect him to run into a couple of droids.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing is like they want it to be an origin that tells a story, but they've got to tie it into what happened in the first X-Men movie. So like. He can hate Sabretooth, but he can't kill him at the end because Sabretooth's in X-Men. He can hate Stryker, but they can't kill him because he's in X-Men too. And it's really – it's like – it reminds me when I saw like it was like Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix or some nonsense. And the whole time I'm like, oh man, this is going to be some fight at the end between him and Voldemort. And they fought for a little bit and Voldemort's like, ah, we'll all be back, Potter, and disappeared. And I was like, oh, that's right. There's like two or three more movies. So there'll be no closure in this story. They just did such a bad job of making it feel like not a chapter in a longer story, which happened here, too.
Speaking of Sabretooth, I was saying that I don't really understand his motivation throughout the film.
And
you mean the actor Liev Schreiber?
I think it's probably a big paying movie. Yeah,
paying.
I told you Sabretooth's motivation. He's a killing machine.
Okay, well...
He's a manimal.
Well, that's the thing. He seems to kill for no reason. He wants Stryker to give him adamantium bones. Why? Who knows? I don't
know.
By
the way, this was
what?
Another logical
makes him better
problem.
At battling.
Another logical problem I had with the film, Stryker's reason for not giving Sabretooth adamantium bones. Sabretooth, the guy who's already on Stryker's side, he's like, oh, I gotta go get Wolverine to put adamantium on him, even though like that involves like a huge conspiracy. He says, oh, Sabretooth, you wouldn't be able to survive it. Sabretooth, who has the same healing powers as Wolverine.
Nice. I mean, they're not exactly the same. I mean, I bet, like, if you pulled out their Marvel cards and there was a power gauge
for healing
power.
And
yeah,
stamina.
Exactly. Sabretooth might be a little lower, but he's a little higher in sheer killing ability.
But he turns
in psychotic rage.
He turns against his brother, I guess, to get adamantium bones.
Well, they have a love-hate relationship, too.
He's like, oh. No one gets to kill you but me, is the line he says, or something like that. And so they team up to fight against Deadpool.
Sabretooth says nothing but like awesome cliches the whole movie.
Oh, Wolverine Look walks in, after he kills Wolverine's girlfriend, Wolverine walks into the bar/barn /garage that Sabretooth's in and goes, look what the cat dragged in. And it's like, come on, seriously? Yeah.
Every line he has in the movie is like that, though.
It's terrible.
It's the weirdest reading for his script.
A guy wrote it. Someone wrote that.
Somebody wrote that.
Somebody got paid
for
that.
Someone opened their book of cliches, and they're like, that's one.
I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. It's a lot of, like, I'm surprised there wasn't a point where he went, like, didn't go, meow. Like,
when
someone,
it was when Wolverine, in the trailer, when Wolverine, like, extends his computer claws. He's like, ooh, shiny. Yeah. He didn't say quite as quite as Sean Hazy as I did.
What is your obsession with Sean Hazy?
He's hilarious, Dan. Hilarious. I don't understand why the people who make Two and a Half Men don't just put him on that fucking show.
Because it would be Three and a Half
Solid
Men.
Solid gold.
Yes, there's like, every show should star Sean Hazy.
If he's the half of a man that's on that show, if they take that fat kid off of there.
I wish it was called
$1 million.
It was about Two and a Half Men.
$1 million to me is what
that. It
was called
Two and a Half Men. It was the same exact show, but instead of a kid, it was like a veteran. who had his legs amputated.
Double amputee, sure.
And it's, or like Jude Law's character in Gattaca, who also lost his legs. It's like these two guys having zany adventures and then this really sad guy.
It's like, I'm going to go sit out near the strip mall and hold my sign that says I'm a war vet. Like that sort of thing.
All right. I've got to convince these girls to sleep with me. All sure. right, Charlie Sheen. Well, yeah. I'll be at the VFW.
Charlie. Yeah.
One of you will be the A plot and one of you will be the B plot. And one of those plots will be depressing. But here's one thing that I just remembered that really bothered me.
Okay.
At
lay it on us.
At the beginning, when they're in the African village and they find the adamantium.
Not the beginning. That's like 25, 30 minutes in.
Okay. Well, they find the adamantium. And
maybe it's 15 minutes.
And they go to the village and they're like, where did this stone come from? And like the guy's like, it came from the sky. And everyone's like, it came from the sky?
Like, tell the fucking truth, guy. Stop lying.
No, and Wolverine goes, no, he's telling the truth.
Yeah, and I was like, what, this is a universe where no one has ever heard of
the smells like the Shi'ar Empire.
Like, they could not believe, no one could believe that a stone could fall out of the sky.
That was dumb, but what's even dumber, and it goes along with what you were saying earlier about shoehorning these characters in, is the deleted scene on the DVD where Wolverine has a falling out with his team of mercenaries, and he says, that's it, I'm done, and he leaves after they kill a bunch of people in this village. In the deleted scene, little girl Storm, Aurora Monroe, is there and is just standing mute, and they just keep cutting to her looking at this. And you can tell it's her because she has long white hair and because it starts raining behind her because she controls the weather. And they cut that out of the movie, but it's on the deleted scenes, and it shows this philosophy of like, we got to put in all these little hints to the real fans.
It's called Destiny.
But they just feel really...
It's called Destiny, Elliot.
It's like they
all preordained. They would all work together.
They do a lot of comics now that take place in the past where it's like, it'll be like Nick Fury having an adventure in World War II. And he'll bump into Wolverine, and then years later they won't remember. It's like, oh, thanks for driving me over to this part of the battlefield. What's your name? Logan. Well, nice to meet you, Logan. You're a tough little guy. Hope we'll meet again sometime. Wink, readers.
You can heal anything.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You seem the best at what you do, and that's driving. See you later, bub.
I hope someday to do something more important. Thanks.
I hope to do something less nice in the future.
I hope to kill a shitload of Skrulls with you. Peace out.
Yeah. So it was a lot of spinning. Everybody spins in the action scenes.
A lot of spinning, a lot of sorting.
There's tons of CGI backdrops. Like it's all. I think the whole movie was shot on blue screen.
A lot of people screaming no to the heavens.
I was actually expecting more of that. I'm a little disappointed. The trailers led me to believe that was like 70% of the movie. It was just Hugh Jackman flexing and showing off his veins. And
there was a lot of him showing off his veins.
No. Sabretooth! As soon as a fight's about to get started, he's like, shirt's coming off, just gotta wear a wipe.
Yeah, that's right, there was a scene where he was running outside with a coat, and suddenly...
All of a sudden it's like, time to show off my Italian t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, ladies and gay men, partial nudity. We were promised partial nudity at the beginning of the DVD when we saw the rating.
There was an introduction. Hugh Jackman walks in and goes, thanks for renting this DVD of X-Men Origins Wolverine. Just so you know, there's some partial nudity in the film.
What's it all about, Alfie?
People ask me all the time. Good night, you Princess of Maine.
And it was Hugh
Jackman. I cannot do an Australian accent.
Yeah. It was Hugh Jackman. leaping out of the water, going into berserker rage, and diving into
a waterfall.
But a little Jackman ass, ladies.
Yeah, if you're a Jack fan,
I wish that while running, like with no pants on, it just flashed on the screen something for your girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. Like something.
you dragged them to the theater. Like here's something for them. Now back to more people being killed as soon as they're introduced.
Yeah.
There is kind of a funny scene where he gets picked up by this old man and woman who are basically Ma and Pa Kent, or Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, like any old people who take care of the hero. Hero. And he gets to their house, and he's using the bathroom, and his claws come out for the first time. And he doesn't know what to do. He's cutting up the radiator and the sink. Uh-huh. And there was something very Teen Wolf about it.
Yeah.
And it's weird, really like a puberty scene.
What's weird is that,
and then the elderly, kindly old man and woman were immediately shot by snipers.
Yeah.
The weird thing about it, though, is like
he doesn't even get to stay with them for a week.
But he had like claws. Like ever since he was like he had claws for sharp. Over 100 years.
They were, wait a minute, what? They were pointy, but they weren't like
razor sharp.
Well, he did
so
use
wait a
them
minute.
To kill
How
people.
How did being squirted full of adamantium turn his like sausagey little
point.
Bone claws
my
into
point,
like
Stuart.
Little razors.
Yeah.
Like super
it
sharp
feels,
razors,
yeah,
too.
No,
that's crazy.
There seems like there should have been a forge, like a forge, like some sort
of. Wait, the
blacksmith.
Character Forge?
Yeah.
The shaman inventor?
That's who he is.
That's always working on the Blackbird?
Yeah.
You think exactly. That character should have been around to fix it?
Yeah.
Okay, that would have made more sense.
Somebody, like, there should have been some fucking, like, we should have seen Stryker with, like, a knife sharpener. Like, all right, well, now that we've done the basic laydown of the adamantium, we're going to do a little finesse on this.
Yeah, so you just stand there, we got to grind this
English
down.
On it. Yeah, yeah, put a little English on it. So, we've all seen the X-Men movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yep.
Fellas? I don't know about you guys, a little tired about this Stryker bad guy, Sabretooth bad guy. Why didn't they introduce more bad guys?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I guess
they
this Deadpool fella.
Did.
Sure,
well,
this
they
Deadpool
really
gentleman.
They did a bad job of introducing people and kind of showing their half powers.
That's,
sure.
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of, there seems to be this rule that in superhero movies nowadays where... When you introduce a villain in one movie, he has to show up in the next one, and maybe you'll throw in some other guys too. Mm. Like the Spider-Man movies, not quite as much, although the you know the Osborns are in every fucking
right.
one. But like Magneto's in the first one, okay, we gotta have Magneto with some more villains in the second one. Third one, gotta bring back Magneto, but we'll give him a bigger army of like random
yeah.
mutants that just show up in the backgrounds.
That really pissed me off. I'm like. Hellfire Club. Come on, let's get...
The Hellfire Club, Apocalypse. Like, you got all sorts
Sentinels,
of great...
Sentinels.
Mr. Sinister.
Arcade.
You got all sorts of weirdo villains you could put in there.
The Brood.
The Brood. The Imperial Guard.
That guy in
the Star Jammers.
Sure.
Mojo. Yeah.
Mojo and Mojo 2, the
just
sequel.
Have them sucked into the Mojoverse. Come on, let's just do it.
Spiral.
And then you can have the X-Babies.
Yeah.
Darth Vader, the Gremlins.
Yeah.
Mr. Potter.
Maybe have them sucked into Asgard and they have to fight
Ivan
Loki.
Drago.
Darth, wait, did you already say Darth Vader?
Did. He did. He said
what
Darth
about Dark Helmet?
Dark Helmet.
Dark Helmet.
Sure.
Dark.
That's matter. A crossover that's just waiting to be tapped.
What's his name
it's a
from
rich
Temple
vein
of Doom?
Of comedy.
Molaram,
yeah.
Yeah, man, why not? Jesus.
Charles Foster Kane. Sam Spade. Jake Giddies.
Yeah. The Fat Man, Gutman. The Fat Man.
Yeah, the Fat Man.
Zolo from
the
Romancing
Gunsel.
The Stone.
Joel Cairo.
Scarlett yep, O'Hara. Glenda, the Good Witch of the North. Baby Jane.
Tor Johnson.
Now we're just naming things.
Fletch. The Gopher from Caddyshack.
Fletch lives.
Wait a minute. Fletch again.
Wait, the Gopher from Caddyshack, I think, would be on Wolverine's side, to be honest.
I don't know. They'd fight first, though,
yeah.
when they first met up.
They would have a fight, and Wolverine's like, whoa, I want to catch you.
Well, Bill Murray's kind of the Wolverine of that movie.
It's
most movies and TV shows have their Wolverine. Like, mm-hmm. Stuart, when I first started watching The Wire, one of the things that stuck with me was when you described Omar as being The Wire's Wolverine.
It's true.
Like, they all have that kind of character, you know. All
right.
Well, yeah, like Jim, like John, I almost said Jim Belushi. He's never a Wolverine.
No, except
but John
in,
Belushi in Animal House is totally the Wolverine.
He's the Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been running a while. We need to really speed through our final judgments on this.
Final judgments.
And to reiterate, the categories are, is this a good bad movie, a bad movie, or a movie that you actually kind of liked in
you don't
some
have special
way.
Wolverine ones for this?
Oh, God.
This is a big
gonna
movie.
Be a special snicket, category snicket. Every
is it
time.
The best it is at what it does?
is what it does not very nice, or...
or is it... mutantly mediocre.
Sure.
Okay.
Elliot, what do you have to say?
I would have to say what it does isn't very nice because
yeah.
it's very boring and This is a movie that I knew wasn't going to be good, but I was still kind of looking forward to it because as a comic book fan, there's the part of you that like wants to see what they do with the characters to change them. And what they did was just not interesting or appealing.
Yeah. Dash?
Yeah, there's nothing worthwhile in this movie at all. Even seeing how bad the special effects are or how weird some of the stuff is, it's just a bad movie.
Yeah. If I was not watching it with you gentlemen, I think I would have taken Dash's lead and fallen asleep in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna agree.
A movie where someone uses the claws that come out of his hands to rip up a helicopter, it is really boring.
Yeah. Stuart?
Wait, which one is really bad? Which is the
what he does isn't very nice.
Yeah, I don't like this wasn't a very good movie. It was really the thing is it was just really boring.
Yeah.
The saddest thing about it is like I mean, yeah,
there's
hey,
a lot of plot in this
you know
movie.
What? You know what? We're having some yucks right now, but you know what? During the movie, it was Snoresville.
It was. We took a first class ticket to Snoresville.
Yeah, I spent most of the time like writing texts and stuff, and like writing emails.
You do that even when you like the movies.
Yeah, that's true. And like looking at internet pornography on my iPhone.
Whoa! While we were in the room.
Yeah, I wasn't like masturbating.
Okay.
But I was getting ready to.
Sure. If the movie kept on going. Like
yeah,
it
I mean, it's a slow build. Like,
sure.
I'm not ready to go at the drop of the hat. You know, I got to work it up.
I'll romance you a little.
Yeah, I got to be romance with my internet pornography.
Sure.
So great
movie.
So
what were we talking about, Wolverine?
What we're talking about is...
recommendations, Dan.
Recommendations.
This is where you recommend a movie that you actually liked as opposed to this shithole. Dan.
Wow.
The spotlight's on you, McCoy.
Really accusatory.
Drop it on us.
Your move.
I saw the Brothers Bloom, which
okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I liked that movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I haven't seen it. I was just making a face.
Okay. I thought that maybe I wouldn't like it because it got a lot of mixed reviews, but I liked Brick, and the thing about movies like that, like, there's, like, good whimsy and bad whimsy, and I know that, like... And
there's
like,
the last Mimsy.
Exactly. And people.
You've been waiting. You've been saving that fucking joke.
You've been waiting for someone to say whimsy twice.
Yeah. And people disagree on what's good and what's bad. Like people have different tolerances for different things. Like I know a lot of people don't, but I, for instance, like Wes Anderson movies, but I do not like, say, Amelie. Like, I watch Amelie, and I'm like, well, this is visually stunning, but this woman is crazy, and she's making life difficult for herself and everyone around her.
Mm-hmm. Too foreign.
I don't
go to the movies to read.
I would have watched Emily.
Yeah.
The English language version.
Yeah.
I saw Brothers Bloom in the theaters, and I thought the opening where it all rhymes was a little too twee.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
But after that, I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, and the thing is, like, it has a thematic reason. I mean, it's a movie about, like, sort of constructing stories, so for it to have, like, this storybook quality makes sense. It doesn't just feel like affectation.
And you see Rachel Weisz's butt.
Yeah, sure.
I like
which
that.
Only happens in 90% of the movies that Rachel Weisz is
in. I just saw The Constant Gardener recently for the first time, and I was like, there's a lot of Rachel Weisz with no clothes on in this.
Beautiful, beautiful butt in that movie. But, anyway.
Anywho.
Ralph
Finney's butt.
It shows. I don't know why it's so indelibly connected, but whenever I hear the name Ralph, I assume Macchio is going to follow it.
Sure.
And I have not thought about him probably in 8 years outside of hearing people say the word Ralph. The
I always
Ralph.
Just fill it in with the word King right before. That's okay. What I assume. I just
sure,
heard
King Ralph.
Yeah. That's going to happen sometime, guys. Like all of the royal family is going to get together for a photograph.
One photo.
And Ralph Macchio is going to have to step in and move. Country.
It's called Karate King.
You just sold your pitch, sir.
That would be so great. The new they just installed the Cobra Kaiser of Germany. And it's instead of world
fucking leaving.
Instead of World War III, they have a karate mob. The karate competition. Come on.
Oh man, it's like
Prime Minister Miyagi. It's what?
It's like the grand conjunction of stupid Elliot jokes tonight. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, Prime Minister Miyagi.
Well, the planets are aligned. All right,
sure. So does anyone want to jump in with their recommendation? Anyone?
I saw a movie from the 30s I enjoyed. What a surprise. Dante's Inferno, starring Spencer Tracy, which has its slow parts, but it is basically about a man who...
It's about a volcano.
Well, no. It's about this guy is a kind of
James Bond.
an amoral, greedy guy who works his way up from being the stoker in a ship's boiler room to running this carnival concession called Dante's Inferno. That's like kind. It's supposed to have a moral message, but it's basically a haunted house based on Dante's work. And Spencer Tracy, you know, hurts people on his way to the top, and then he has to pay for it later. But there's some neat scenes, especially one, there's about a 10-minute sequence in the middle that's the best-known part of the film, where it's basically a wordless, just kind of fantasia of going through the inferno as described by Dante, in these very, like, beautifully done, like, black-and-white scenes with pretty good special effects and fire and people wailing in torment, turning into trees and things like that. It's a very neat scene. So it's worth looking up that movie for that scene alone. But the whole movie is kind of fun in an overly melodramatic way.
All right. Stuart, what do you got?
I'm going to recommend a New Zealand film called Once We're Warriors about Maori people in New Zealand. And it's kind of sad and pretty depressing, and it's about a family just kind of falling apart. And it features a lot of kind of difficult scenes and a lot of difficult moments, and it has some moments of revenge that feel so incredibly hollow that you don't really enjoy them at all. So yeah, Once We're Warriors if you want to feel kind of depressed.
Okay. And Dash, do you have anything that you would
like? Oh yeah, and it real quick, it stars the dude who played Jango Fett in the Star Wars prequels.
Okay, now I'm sold.
Everyone's favorite actor.
Everyone's favorite Fett, Django.
Yeah, I just moved and I found a DVD that I had been missing for a long time called, it has two titles. It's either Spooky Encounters or Close Encounters of the Spooky Kind.
It stars like it.
Chow Yun-Fat
from
the 70s. It's just an awesome, goofy kung fu movie with ghosts. If you can find it, check it out.
Mm. That's pretty good.
Based on the title, I think of it.
Yeah, it's really funny, and there's some sweet, sweet kung fu in it.
Wait, it's spooky though, right?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kung fu and ghosts. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Kung fu ghost. Karate Kid Part 5.
You sold your second pitch.
I'm selling so many screenplays. I'm doing so much better than Ziggy did.
Oh, man. So, guys, wow. We did it.
I feel like we should have Saturday Night Live type music that plays now, where we like hug each other and talk, like, sure. It's really an experience.
Guess that's why they call it the blues.
Oh man, we're gonna have to pay Elton John so much money for that.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
It's like the music I imagine they play though.
Yeah.
Well, no, like, they play that dun 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 dun. Well, we had a great show tonight. I'm James Franco.
We're gonna pay G.E. Smith so much money.
Well, we'll use some public domain music. Happy birthday to you.
All right. That's not public domain.
Oh, no.
So we're what? This is 51, right?
This is 51.
Ooh, six away from Heinz.
Man, we're officially deep into middle age now. I'm deep into middle age.
Well, I mean, you kind of are.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I'd like to thank Dash, our contest winner, for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Out to here.
Hope you enjoyed the Flophouse, the flop experience.
Oh, it was a ton of fun.
The Popeyes and
welcome
swearing.
To the Flophouse, Dash. Hope you survive. That's an old X-Men thing.
And yeah, I guess we should sign off. I've been Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I will always be Elliot Kalin.
Thanks for having me. I'm Dash.
Good night, guys.
Do you think female porn stars ever wear merkins?
No, don't.
Do you think they ever wear merkins when they have sex with non-porn stars to, like, disguise their identity?
I don't understand why they would want to do that.
You know, like how, like, a famous person might wear a mustache or something.
Dude, did you wet down your hair? Cowabunga.
Yeah, it was a little hot.
Okay.
Under and the I'm nervous.
I thought you were...
This is a big podcast. This is Wolverine
like
Origins.
Boy haircut that you had.
I don't particularly.
Oh, it's adorable.
Oh, I like
but
your haircut.
But the girls like it. So, what am I going to do? Try and keep it real? I don't think so.
I'm not sure in this context, yeah.
That phrase doesn't mean anything.
If this was the movie Clueless, it would mean shaving your head, but that's...
Yeah, wait, really?
Well, because he's shaving his head, and his explanation is because he's keeping it real.
Oh, yeah, the guy from the Scrubs show.
Yeah, yeah, Scrubsy.
The funny guy.
Yeah.
They call him.
Faison Stun.
Why do they call him that?
Nope, Stacey Dash is in that.